Bye weeks. Do they help, hurt, or are they just indifferent? On this episode of the Auburn Daily Podcast, we're going to look into just that. We're going to look at data across college football and see how those numbers look, and then also zoom into Auburn specifically and see about Auburn's history with bye weeks. And just a little bonus on top of that, see about Hugh Freeze and what he has done after bye weeks at past jobs before he arrived on the plains. Before we get started, I just want to take a moment to thank the sponsor for today's episode, Opelika Rage Room, located on 2nd Avenue just outside of downtown Opelika. It is a perfect bye week activity for you, friends and family, and whoever to do if you're located in the Auburn Opelika area. You're not going to be watching an Auburn game this weekend, so get out of your house, do something a little bit different. Have some fun. Check them out on social media at Opelika Rage Room, opelikaragerum.com. They have tons of pictures, videos, and information. If you don't know what a rage room is, well, it is exactly what it sounds like. You get to go in there, you got a table full of stuff, and you and a group of your friends or family can just break it and beat it to a pulp. Yes, just like that. Check them out and go to their website at Opelika Rage Room to make a reservation for your time slot now. And if you're in the Birmingham location, they do have a second location up there as well. Thank you for sponsoring today's show and on to the episode. So talking bye weeks, we're going to take a look at all of college football, some of that data, ask some of the general questions. And then as the episode progresses, we're going to kind of take this a little bit more into Auburn. And then, of course, we're going to end it right with Hugh Freeze and how he has done with bye weeks. So a few of the questions we've got to ask with bye weeks in general, and a lot of these are very intangible questions, but just food for thought for anybody who's listening to the episode right now. When is the best time of the season for a bye week? Now, the data for this can be all over the place, but if you were a coach, you had the power to make a schedule for your team, when would you want to do it? Earlier in the season? Later in the season? Midway through the season? And obviously, you can't necessarily control this aspect of it, but for this exercise, pretend you can. Would you want to have it after a win? Would you want to have it after a loss? Because there, hey, we've actually got 2 weeks, we got good film to see what we need to fix. Or the inverse of that, you are going to be down in the dumps, momentum is down, you got to fester with that loss for 2 weeks, or you can be riding that high win. What do you do? Do you want it before a difficult opponent? Because in that way, you've got double amount of the time to prepare for them than normal. Or do you want to have it before a big road game? So do you want to have that time to prepare to play on the road and get used to some of the extra factors that you might have there? Or do you want it before a big home game? Really double down on your stuff, then you can come in with all the momentum of not only having the extra time and rest to prepare, but you also are going to be playing at home in front of a big hostile crowd and really have a chance to make a statement. So all these are just some questions that are kind of food for thought to, hey, what are the real advantages of the bye week, and what do the situations really set up best for the team to play? So now we've kind of asked some of those, let's actually check into some of the data on the macro data for all of college football and to see what some of that says about bye weeks. Okay, so first off, we're going to look at all of college football. The numbers that I'm going to be referencing here are from Saturday.com, from a story that Kyle Bennison wrote in November 30th of 2020, CFB Mythbusters, Do Bye Weeks Help or Hurt Your Team? This is great, got a lot of good data, and really just jumped straight into it. So the first question, is there a benefit to the bye weeks? Do you see an actual jump in the data that correlates to bye weeks having an advantage to wins? Well, the data that was pulled is from 2000 to 2019, which I think is very relevant because it's a more modern era of football. I think if you go back too far, you might see different skews of data, but what is it? Does it really affect today's game? Don't necessarily think so. Now, this chart was actually drawn up by @CFB_data. So there is actually a slightly lower rate of wins coming off a bye week than just a regular game. I would say that's something along the lines of probably 49 to 51% type situation there. Very, very close, but skewed. Now, that may come to a surprise to some people, because I think a lot of people think that bye weeks have this massive big time advantage. But as of right here, the furthest look at from college football, it's not looking so great. So the next point that we're going to look at here is, how do bye weeks correlate when the opponent that you're playing after the bye week is a tougher opponent? Now, that's obviously what a lot of schools want to do. They want to get that bye week before that tough opponent. Now, does the data show that there are any advantages there to are there any advantages there or not? Or is it going to be just like it is above, to where it basically is just a regular game, at least on the macro scale? Now, this one, cited same folks as above, CFB data, actually has a little bit of a correlation to when you're playing a tougher opponent, the win rates coming off a bye week are slightly better than normal. Now, keyword there, slightly better. I don't think you're going to be seeing a massive, massive difference. And also, too, this data could be skewed that a lot of teams just actually try to do that with bigger opponents and get them on bye weeks. So that could just be a factor there. But the data does show there is a little bit better of a performance. The third chart on this article talks about the bye week effects, and that is going to be a XY column breaking down of bye week win percentage, comparing that to the regular season win percentage, which basically just says how are teams performing based in the bye week, based after the bye week, versus how do they do the regular season. And there are some interesting little data points here, but let's just start with the one everybody's listening for, and that's going to be Auburn. So they don't have an exact pinpoint, so I'm just kind of ballparking the, just kind of connecting the graph here. So bye week win percentage from Auburn, like I said, this is dating from 2000 to 2019, is going to be around 60%. So that means Auburn just above 50% in the win column coming out of bye week. So Auburn does have a slight advantage coming out of bye weeks. Now, granted, overall, in the grand scheme of things, this is a fairly smaller sample size, but compared to regular season win percentage, that is actually a little bit lower, where Auburn's regular win percentage is around 68-69% of wins in that deal, in that time period. So with that, Auburn actually underperforms a little bit, because actually they were winning a little bit less than their clip should have been. Now, once again, going back to a part of that, Auburn does schedule some tough opponents. It's usually in the middle of SEC play. But overall, Auburn is still very, very close to the median line in that graph, which is really where you want to be with this data, of just saying that the bye week doesn't matter. You're performing pretty close to what you'd be winning at in the regular season versus what you're winning at after bye game. So all things considered, that is pretty good for Auburn. You want to be close to that line. For example, Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, etc. Those teams are all also right along that line, very, very close. I'll add Michigan as well to that line as well. Now, some things that jump out that are kind of funny in the outlier category here, Texas is way up here, somewhere in the neighborhood of 80%+ of having a ton of positive win ratios off the bye week. And then the losers of this is going to be Ole Miss, Michigan State, and Penn State, with all of around a negative 21 to negative 24% win rate coming off of byes. So bye weeks have not been super kind to those programs. And then everybody else is kind of in the middle, with a few kind of skewed in every direction. Then obviously you got Texas, that for whatever reason is in the stratosphere of this chart. So it does go to show that there is some data that points to bye weeks can have an effect. But I think a lot of that kind of depends on the school, the conference, and when they historically try to get these. So, does the data tell us a lot about Auburn and what we can expect here? Not necessarily. It may say there are some slight advantages or disadvantages, but not a whole lot. So let's take this and zoom it in a little bit more on Auburn and see just what is going on with Auburn, what their tendencies seem to be when they are ranked, when they are unranked, when they're playing ranked opponents, playing on the road, way, etc. Now, that data is going to be coming from yours truly, because I get to crunch that manually. So you're going to have a pause in the episode that will seem instantaneous. But between now and that pause, I'm going to be diving deep into a calculator, getting a bunch of numbers on a spreadsheet, and we're going to be coming back to what you guys seems like a blink of an eye with some actual data on Auburn. And then, like I said, we're going to cap that off to see exactly what Hugh Freeze does to just answer the question, does this bye week actually matter in the scheme of giving Auburn any sort of advantage or disadvantage? Or is it really just the time for players to rest and they just get back to it and it would really be business as normal? We'll have an answer for you very soon. And just like that, I'm back. What seemed like a mere flash for you guys was actually a lot of time of me going in, looking at a bunch of numbers, and putting in about 20 years worth of data points of all sorts of different interesting tidbits, and we're going to talk about them here on this episode. So, as far as Auburn, what I did is I went back from 2022 all the way to 2002, a good 20 years worth of data. And then also the key thing with that as well is with the advent of the internet and record keeping of data on the internet that's like easily accessible and accurate, it gets a little dicey when you get past the 20-year mark as far as like all these stats and things that you can find, and not even like advanced stats, but just like very, very basic things, just because data was done a little bit differently back then. But you can typically find pretty consistent data keeping up to the early 2000s pretty consistently in a lot of different places. So that is just what we did here. Took numbers from sportsreference.com, a great site for just grabbing all this type stuff. So let's jump right into it and see what Auburn's games, records, and just other interesting data points have looked like after some bye weeks. And what is the big number here? Since 2002 to 2022, Auburn has won 14 games coming off of bye week and lost 6. Now, you might be wondering if that's technically 21 seasons and 20 games. I was looking at 2006, and it looks like they just did an early Iron Bowl and had the bye week at the end of the season. And as you kind of go further back in this, there are some kind of odd irregularities with how they did bye weeks and when they did them and who the opponents were. And I kind of find that stuff somewhat interesting. So that is going to be some little things that we talk about on this. But overall, Auburn has done an excellent job before this last season, 2002, losing to Arkansas after a bye week. I think we can thank Brian Harsin. And for a lot of people, that was the favorite game of the season because that was the final nail in Brian Harsin's coffin. And that would be his last time coaching on the Plains for Auburn, which for a lot was a great day to rejoice because Cadillac came in and got the morale of Auburn turned around and had a pretty historical moment. Let's call it for exactly what it was when Cadillac was over there. And it really makes you wonder like what this team's record would look like had Cadillac and friend slash Ike Hilliard kind of scrapped this thing together with more time to do it than they did. And it kind of goes to show that a new staff with the lack of experience and time put together something better than what Brian Harsin and his team did with an entire season and offseason to develop it. So kind of goes for saying it stinks because while it's important is Auburn had won every single bye week game or coming off a bye week game dating back all the way to 2013. The last time they lost one was in 2012 to Arkansas. So the record began and ended with Arkansas. But I guess it just really goes to show that Gus Malzahn, say what you will about him, was the bye week king. Did not lose a single game coming off of a bye week during his tenure at Auburn. Now, there's a few little things that we can kind of look with some asterisks on here and just a few things to kind of say. Trends that are different players, different opponents, different eras, all the above, coaches, tenures, whatever. Doesn't really mean anything as far as what's going to happen. I think that's a lot of people, Lou, same kind of deal. You look at a slot machine and you look at a roulette table and say, oh, it's been black 7 times in a row. It's not going to be black. It's bound to hit red. Same kind of deal here. Just because you've done something a previous year does not change your statistical odds of it happening at all. That's very, very early lesson you learn if you take statistics. But all the same, Freakonomics style stats are fun, so that is not going to deter us from our pretending like it has some type of correlation to what's going to happen, because especially if it's on the win column, we're definitely going to lean into it like it gives Auburn some type of advantage here. So another thing, going back to 2002, Auburn has outscored opponents coming off of bye weeks 591 to 462. That is 129 points. Obviously, we're omitting the 2006 season in this because I don't know if that would be factored into the bowl game at that, whatever, whatever. So there's a little bit of that missing. But all the same, you outscored them 129 points. So the data is pointing at that Auburn does have some pretty strong showings after bye weeks. Now, as far as was the following game of the bye week, home or away? Well, in that time period, you've had 13 home games and then 7 away. And as far as have those correlated to wins or losses, that column is pretty much right down the middle. So nothing we can take away looking at this LSU game and saying, there's been some historical statistical advantage there. Unfortunately, that has not boded in Auburn's favor or gone against them. As far as opponents Auburn has played in these games, for whatever reason, Arkansas seems to be the target that they want to get after these bye weeks. Auburn has played in that time period Arkansas six times and gone 50-50 with them throughout these series. Fortunately, you just happened to schedule that one in 2012 and 2022. So two very historically bad years that Auburn has had historically. They met Arkansas here, but they'd also beat Arkansas up in some other ones with some of the largest score discrepancies being in Auburn's favor against Arkansas when they'd beat up them 56-3 in 2016 and then 51-10 in 2019. Bring Chad Morris home. Some interesting ones going back to the Tuberville days in this was you had two non-cons in there actually that came off of bye week. 2008 West Virginia, which if memory serves is probably the last time anybody in an Auburn uniform has played in a little bit of a snow flurry. If memory serves, I think there was snow. Not like the field turned white type of snow, but there were definitely some flurries. Cold game in West Virginia there. A fun Big East matchup when the Big East existed, and that was actually a tough loss for Auburn when they were still struggling with their 2008 woes, 17-34. A ranked matchup, Auburn was ranked 13 and West Virginia was ranked 19, a good slugfest in the middle of October. Then before that, a really, really interesting one, an odd one, was 2003, and this is kind of said the further back you go, the times of the season that these bye weeks were was just a little bit off, but obviously college football has changed a lot since then. We had Western Kentucky coming off of a bye, and let me tell you, you needed that bye to beat them up 48-3. Unranked matchup then, that was after a tough start and a very hyped up 2003 season for Auburn, and that was after a home win against Syracuse that year. Some other quick opponents of note: Ole Miss and Tennessee had both been played once coming off of a bye week. You had Georgia twice, and you had A&M twice as well. You had South Carolina and Kentucky in there once, and I believe that gets everybody. So a little bit of a decent SEC spread. Now, the most common times for the bye weeks are going to be middle of October, and I think that's why you're going to see a lot of those Arkansas in there and some Ole Misses. That seems to be a time where they really like to get those matchups in the SEC schedule. There was a time, especially in the later Tuberville years, to where they would get this bye week. Some folks remember this with Alabama, so that's why you had four bye weeks pre-Alabama, with the last one happening in 2013, and that one aged very well. Auburn is 3-1 with wins over Alabama coming off of a bye week, coming in some very special years, 2013, 2010, and then you lost to 2009. You gave Saban his first Iron Bowl L in 2007. So maybe, just maybe, if you do believe in Freakonomic statistics, if you see an Iron Bowl bye week or an Iron Bowl coming off of a bye week for Auburn, maybe put those odds that Auburn will make a national championship appearance that year. Statistics will tell you, you got a pretty good shot from right here. So a few little of the asterisks and anomalies here. So 2020, obviously everything that year was a little bit strange. You had a double bye week because you had, I guess, a bye week and then a game. You had to reschedule a game due to whatever COVID complications were happening. So you actually had 2 weeks off before you played Tennessee. Don't think that has happened in anywhere near recent history. Now, Auburn did beat up Tennessee, probably played their best game of the season that year, top to bottom, against, say, opponent-wise. Obviously, they beat the brakes off LSU, but that was a LSU team that had pretty much all but given up, that kind of set the tone for what Coach O's fate would be. But Auburn looked good against that Tennessee team, which I would say was better than the LSU team that year. Beat them up 30-7, and Auburn at the time was ranked 23. Tennessee was not ranked at all, and this game ended up being played in late November. One of the latest games, I believe, actually, the latest game, latest post bye week game that was not Alabama was actually Tennessee this year, with a little bit of asterisk. In 2015, Auburn had one, but they played Kentucky on a Thursday. Thursday games always make this stuff a little weird. And I kind of wondered, with 2006, you did have a Thursday game in there, which wasn't a technical bye week, but you had a short week from a previous Saturday to a long week there. So I don't know if they were trying to say that was somewhat counting for that. I'm not sure if anybody factored that into their data points for some of these other people who have crunched similar numbers. West Virginia was also on a Thursday. And then 2010 Iron Bowl was played on a Friday. And fun fact about that, that was actually such a problem for Alabama during Black, because it was typically on Black Friday. And that was such a problem for like merchants and retail that they went to Montgomery and complained, being like, hey, this game does not need to be on a Friday. Instead of shopping and spending money, people are just sitting at home and watching football. So that pretty much nixed that to present day, and it is no longer here. So fun little trivia fact about how the Iron Bowl broke Black Friday in the state of Alabama. Now onto the part of ranking correlation. This is going to be looking at what Auburn's ranks were versus what their opponent's ranks were going into these games and just how those panned out. When both teams were ranked, Auburn has been 5-2 in those games. So when all things were relatively even, you had a top 25 matchup, Auburn did what they needed to do. When neither team was ranked, Auburn went 2-2, 50%. So that was just a good old-fashioned coin flip game. Now, the metric that everybody will probably not be surprised on and be happy about, because this is how it should be, when Auburn was ranked and their opponent was unranked, Auburn went 6-1 those games. The only one that they lost in that one was 2002 Arkansas, game that barely made it on this list. And Auburn was ranked 24, Arkansas was unranked, so it was just barely a ranked matchup there. And like I said, that was over 20 years ago. So if we keep this show alive again next year, then that one will fall off. So then you can say Auburn was undefeated in those type matchups, because Auburn is not going to be going down to Baton Rouge ranked this weekend unless something impossible happens with the AP next Monday, which I don't foresee a bunch of voters waking up and just deciding that Auburn needed to be a top 25 team. Unfortunately, they didn't ask me to vote though. Now, the key matchup that we're going to be going into this next game is going to be Auburn-LSU, where Auburn is unranked and the opponent is ranked. So that has only happened twice in the last 20-plus years. And Auburn is 1-1 in those games. You had 2018 Texas A&M, where Auburn was not ranked and Texas A&M was barely ranked at 25. And then, of course, you had the 2009 Iron Bowl, where Auburn was unranked and Alabama was number two. Now, the interesting thing about these games is both of them were very close one-score games. Now, on the flip side of the coin, both of them were at home for Auburn. So we don't have this style of matchup where Auburn has to play it on the road. Now, we know how that 2009 Iron Bowl ended, and it was been compared a lot to the Georgia game this past weekend, and there were a lot of similarities there, 21-26. And then Texas A&M, where Auburn came back and won this game, 28-24. So both of these games were one-score games. Now, looking back at the history, Auburn has not been keeping LSU to one-score games in Baton Rouge too many times throughout that series. But that is just one of those rivalries where always something kind of crazy happens. You can't ever count that Auburn-LSU game to be. That is probably the most consistently abnormal game Auburn has played in the modern football era. But as far as the correlations from the post-bye week, ranked opponent, unranked Auburn away, there is nothing historically in modern data that gives us any recency correlation to see what this game could look like. So this one really will be just uncharted waters for Auburn. So we'll just have to see. And sadly, there isn't any feel-good data points that I can give anybody to really say, yeah, this will be it. So let's continue on to the next data point of this. Was there any correlation to the previous game that had any effect on the bye week? And generally speaking, this data is all over the place. So it's pretty safe to say that rather Auburn played home or away the previous game, rather they won or they lost, there is no real consistent data that points to the fact that that has any real correlation to swaying to see how the bye week may end up going. So as far as I'm concerned, we can just put a big fat R on this for just completely random and not really a factor. As far as when the bye week is played, as of recently, has been most commonly played in October or early November, and there really doesn't seem to be any data correlation for when the actual bye week is in the season for having any sort of pattern to correlating to wins or losses. Now, a data point here that I find incredibly interesting is this is the first time that Auburn has actually faced up against LSU off of a bye week since, as I said, 2002. So this has not happened in quite some time. Now, Auburn has played LSU prior to bye weeks a handful of times, but not after. So maybe, just maybe, is this going to be something that could help tilt the pendulum in the favor, swing the pendulum probably would have been a better word than tilt, in the favor of Auburn going down to Baton Rouge? Who knows? Maybe they need some extra time to deal with that voodoo that Baton Rouge has had on Auburn for so long. So that was, honestly, if you'd asked me before I had made this list, if Auburn had played LSU off of a bye week, I would have probably confidently said yes, because of how big that rivalry is. That would have made sense to something that you can try to get happening there. Now, of course, you can't plan for what your opponent's rank will be or won't be before you make the schedules. So some of these are probably safe to assume. You're probably going to think that if you have, especially in modern day, the last 15 years, if you've got a matchup with Alabama prior to a week or UGA, that's probably going to be a ranked opponent. But of course, like I said, there's no way to actually know that for sure. The only real data point in here that I think is really safe to say that, yeah, there was enough correlation here to kind of make you feel good about it is, for whatever reason, Gus Malzahn got his guys ready to play after some bye weeks, because everything is ranked opponents, non-ranked, score, this, that, home, away, date. Everything's all over the place, but the only consistency with these games is Gus Malzahn. It's not like Gus Malzahn had a whole bunch of cupcake games post bye weeks, and he when he got time to play a bye week, Gus definitely showed out. So that is what Gus did after bye weeks. Brian Harsin was 1-1 with Ole Miss being a W in 2021. That's arguably probably one of Auburn's better games they played that season. And then they lost to, obviously, we said earlier, Brian Harsin's final game at Auburn was a post-bye loss to Arkansas, which I think a lot of people were kind of wondering if he can't do anything after a bye week, it's definitely over. And sure enough, it was definitely over. But as promised, let's see what Hugh Freeze has done in recent years after bye weeks to see if the coaching change really will be the factor. Because I do think that might have a lot to do with this, because what would be the most consistent denominator through bye weeks? It's not going to be players. It's not going to be rank. It's not going to be home or away. It's not going to be previous opponent. It is going to be coaches. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing that we can really see here, because players can't stay for an entire decade, but coaches can. And obviously, that's one thing Gus Malzahn can hang his hat on, because it definitely wasn't postseason bowls. So let's go take a look at what Hugh Freeze has done. So for the Hugh Freeze data, I included 9 years. That would have been four of which would have been at Liberty, and then five at Ole Miss. And then if you really want to know, I didn't include it in the raw numbers, but yes, he did win his one bye week game at Arkansas State, which would have made it a nice even 10, but I figured that data might have been a little too irrelevant for what we're going to do. So for all these other numbers, it's going to be based out of 9. So drum roll, the number of Hugh Freeze's record coming off of bye weeks is 6-3. That is including both times at Liberty and Ole Miss. At Liberty, he was 3-1. And then at Ole Miss, he was 3-2. Now, the interesting part, going back to all schools, that I noticed about Hugh Freeze is he kept these games very close. Now, as I aforementioned, Auburn was doing a pretty good job of beating the brakes off of schools from how much they outscored him. But in those 9 years, Hugh Freeze only outscored those teams by 18 points. Even with a lot larger of a win total, the scores were still very, very close in the wins and the losses. Take that as you will. There is a fair amount of mix of being ranked and unranked in here. I didn't take as much of a deep dive into those as I did for Auburn. But the home and away mix is Hugh played 3 away and he played 6 at home, combining at both schools. Now, a funny and interesting point is I aforementioned that Auburn played Arkansas the most, 6 times. Hugh Freeze, at both schools, has actually played Arkansas off of a bye 4 times, which is crazy. Everybody just has that Arkansas game circled for the bye week. That's absolutely nuts. Did not expect to see that. And that's obviously including the one time in 2022 where they beat Arkansas last year at Liberty. That game was 21-19. Liberty was ranked 23rd and Arkansas was unranked. But still, that was not a game that I think most people thought Liberty was going to win. Now to some of the other notable games on here. He had the game against Louisiana where they lost a ugly win in 2021, 14-42. Now Liberty at the time was unranked and Louisiana was ranked 22. And that was also coming off of what was probably at the time, and Hugh Freeze kind of even hinted at this at Media Days, an emotional comeback game. Like when I say comeback, maybe return home game when he played Ole Miss for the first time. So I don't know if everybody knows that the matchup he is playing against Ole Miss this season will not be the first time he's played Ole Miss since leaving. He did address that at Media Days and say that the emotions, the jitters, the blues were pretty much shaken off that matchup he had with Liberty. And now for him, and it's just pretty much a regular game, because even then when he did play them, he went to Oxford when he was at Liberty, and this time Ole Miss will being there. So hopefully that can just be more pages turned from all that, and that's just another game for him. But in full Gus effect, I do hope maybe deep down he has that game circled, how Gus Malzahn would circle Arkansas, because those are always some of the favorite games to see when Gus would just absolutely show out and beat the brakes off Arkansas no matter what would happen the week before or the week after. That was Gus's Super Bowl, and hey, it was always a fun win, and we take those when we can get them. 2020, a win over Virginia Tech, and then a oddly close win against Maine in 2019, 59-44, a big shootout game there. Both teams were unranked, and then Liberty was ranked 25th to an unranked Virginia Tech in 2020. That game was away. Now to Ole Miss. As I mentioned, most of these were going to be Arkansas. Three of the five, and oddly enough, one was against Auburn, which, take it, Hugh, you'd take that L. Auburn did beat them post bye week for Ole Miss in 2014. That was 31-35. That was a crazy shootout game, if folks remember that one. That was a top 10 matchup, 4-7. And then before that, they took care of business with Arkansas in 2012 and 2013. They had a win over LSU in 2015, which that was a very good LSU team, if folks remember what Leonard Fournette did to Auburn that game. And then they lost to Arkansas in a close one in 2016. So I don't know if there's any correlating data to here to see what Hugh Freeze has really done that makes you feel better. I will just say, I said I wouldn't dive too deep into it, but it is relevant. Out of those years, Hugh Freeze's teams were ranked 5 times and they were unranked 4. So it seems to be that there is some correlation there to, it's pretty close, 6-3, 5-4, to where when he had good teams, he would beat the teams he wasn't supposed to beat. Now, asterisks on that, if you go back and compare that, not necessarily saying that they won all of those games, because they were ranked in 2016, which they lost. They were obviously ranked against Auburn, like aforementioned, 2014, which they lost. So when they were unranked, facing an opponent that was ranked, like Hugh is going to be doing this weekend, that had only happened to him one time, and that was against Louisiana in 2021, which they lost, and they lost that one ugly. Now, that was a home game, so there's some correlation there. You know, Hugh Freeze facing a team from Louisiana, but it's not in the state of Louisiana, so we don't have that perfect match on this one here as well, to where just all of the data points to line up to what this matchup is going to look like. And then in the three unranked versus unranked games that Hugh Freeze had, he won all of those. And then the, let's see, ranked versus ranked, that's at LSU, they were both ranked in 2015, and Hugh Freeze won those as well. As far as home and away, there really is not a whole lot of correlation there to point to where Hugh Freeze has any strength over another. So nothing really gives us any pinpoint data points there. So I think the only thing of note that I see out of the Hugh Freeze's data compared to the Gus Malzahn data is Hugh Freeze at all destinations has played these post-bye week games very, very tight, with the exception of Louisiana in 2021, where they got the brakes blown off of them. Most of these games had been pretty close. I think his biggest win margin of victory was LSU in 2015. So circle that one, 38-17. We like to see that. So maybe Hugh's got LSU's number coming off a bye. It's 2015. It's different coaches. It's different players. The game was unfortunately in Oxford. It had been really cool and made me feel a lot better if it had been in Baton Rouge, because then I'm circling that and saying, hey, you know what? Hugh has done it before coming off a bye. Maybe, just maybe, this is his time to shock the SEC and shock the world and do it again. So that is going to conclude some of the data points. I will say I just scratched the surface at this. I love looking at different data points and seeing what kind of stories they tell in hindsight and if they can tell us or hint at anything moving forward. Obviously, a lot of this is fun. We can't really take anything to say that's going to have any legitimate prediction for what this game may or may not, or what may or may not happen in this game. And I think the most important deal is, as I mentioned on the episode yesterday, is going to be about players getting healthy. That would be some really, really hardcore advanced data to dig up. I don't know how anybody would. If you have any data nerds out there, see if they can find anything like that. But I think a very, very interesting deal would be how many teams go into a bye week with X number of players unhealthy or injured, and then come out with a net positive of those guys getting to recover. I would be really interested to know just how much that goes into factoring in what a team's performance looks like after a bye. I would be really cool to know. I unfortunately don't have the manpower to dig up that kind of data, but I will say that is probably the most important thing for Auburn to do in this bye week, is just get as many guys as healthy and as rested as possible. And for any nagging injuries that they can play through, hopefully those are no longer nagging and we got everybody at 100% going into what it will be a tough game in Baton Rouge. But hey, you know what? Hugh Freeze has a positive record coming off of bye weeks. You can't say it's not. And if you include the 1 year at Arkansas State, he is 7-3. So that's pretty good. And we've mentioned earlier that Auburn has also been positive in the last 20 seasons coming off of bye weeks as well. So maybe, just maybe, they can get the ship steered right after this. But as I mentioned, the interesting data point correlations for both coaches and both teams, for Hugh Freeze and Auburn, this is kind of uncharted territory for just all of the little particular aspects for how this matchup is going to look like. So it will be interesting to play out, to see for sure. So that is going to conclude it all. For anybody out there that loves data points, get these numbers, crunch them. I'm sure you're going to see a lot more fun stuff. We're going to see if the Auburn Daily team does any stories on this and expand some of the stuff that I took in this episode even further. But I love data. I love crunching it. I think it tells a really, really unique story. So thank you for checking this out. And feel free, if you heard any cool data points that you thought were something we're talking about, or if there's anything I missed or got wrong, shoot me a DM. Bring us a conversation up on Twitter at Auburn Memes or at Auburn Memes on Instagram as well. That is going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and tune in for the next one dropping here very soon.